So listen, if you're a visitor today, it's a special day today. It's Youth Sunday, where we're exploring what God is doing in our youth and giving them an opportunity to express that. By the way, we're having problems with all our air conditioners today, so I'm sorry, you just have to deal with it. Just thank God that you're in America and that normally you don't have this every week, praise God, but we'll work on getting it fixed. We've had problems with them, and you know it's tough to get air conditioner people to get in and work on stuff this time of year because they're very busy. So, but I promise we'll have it all figured out by next week. So I see many of you brought your own fans, so I apologize for that. So anyway, we're good with that though, right? Okay, thank you, Jesus. So so exciting to see what the youth is, or what God's doing in our youth. And, you know, like I said, if it's your first time here, you come back next week and, you know, you'll get to hear me preach. And, you know, I'm okay. Praise God. The Lord gets on me and every once in a while gives me something good to say. Praise Jesus. Amen. And we're real excited to hear from our young people today. And I want you to prepare your hearts to receive what God has for you through the young people, because he's chosen this particular day and brought you this far because there's something that they have. So open your heart. I know even during worship, like you see them all up here and sometimes it's like, oh, I just kind of want to watch them instead of jump in with them. So don't be a spectator today, but be part of what God's doing in the church. Amen. You with me? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this service, God, and we just pray that you would have your way through our young people in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Awesome. Woo. All right. How about that worship, man? That was amazing. Gosh. You guys get one Sunday of this. We get to see them every Wednesday, and it's amazing every Wednesday. It's interesting watching them, and I'm just going to share a quick little thing before I call the first testimony up. Watching these kids over the last several years that we've been here, it's you watch like a seed of faith planted, and then a spark of hope, and then you get to see like the flame of things that were unseen becoming to be seen in them. And it's amazing because you see that, and I'm just like, I've preached on fire on the altar for several years now. Actually, one of the last times that I've been up here, I was preaching on that and sharing that with you guys. But the one thing that really stuck out to me is that watching them, the Word of God clearly states that we need to keep our fire burning. Yeah. And that we're never going to let it go out. It actually, if you look it up in Leviticus 6:8-13, it says it three times. And how many of you know when God says, keep the fire burning multiple times, he means it? Yeah. And I've watched these kids, and I'm so humbled, both myself and my beautiful wife, we've been able to walk with them and disciple them and watch them grow and watch that fire begin to spark and grow into a flame. And you see the fruits of that up here. You see the fruits of that out there in your communities. And the community is beginning to change because this generation is different. And it's exciting to watch that. I'm reminded of Elijah. Especially some of you young men, when I look at you, as at you young ladies as well, I see that moment on Mount Carmel where he confronts the ruler of that age, and he confronts the prophets of that age, and he confronts the fact that they called something that was completely and totally evil good. He stood up before culture and confronted it and was like, no, this is wrong. I'm not the troubler of Israel. You are with your sin. And you need to stop and repent. And you need to decide how long are you going to waver between two opinions? You're either going to follow God, you're going to follow Jehovah and call him God, or you're going to follow Baal and call him God. One of the two, but you have to decide. and I see the line drawn in the sand. That's one of the very things that that the vision of this youth is, standing between the living and the dead. There is a line there. Jesus is that line. You know that your young people are beginning to go after God, that they're beginning to fight for the presence of God and for the nuggets in His Word, and they're beginning to dig deep and put sacrifice before them so that they can leave the stuff of this world behind and go after the one and only thing that matters, and it's their purpose before God on this earth. The last thing I'll say before I call one of my spiritual daughters up, by the way, your mom says to look at your phone, but not in church. Sorry. The one thing that I'll say that I love about the Elijah story, and that you get to see it active here, is that at one point he stands before the people, and it's in 1 Kings 18:30-39. He stands before the people like a type and shadow of Christ, like little Christs. Stands before the people, and he begins to call them together in front of him. And he begins to rebuild the altar of the Lord. And that stuck out to me, because as he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down, it was both physical and emotional and spiritual, because the people's altars had been broken down. They had been following Baal and following the what was culture at that time for so long. They didn't know how to pray. And this man who was full of the Holy Spirit began to rebuild that prayer altar in their lives, and they began to turn their hearts towards God. And it was interesting that he called them. He said, look, he said, these are the 12 stones. I'm going to call you by name, just like God called you. You're Israel. You're His chosen people. And we are going to stop doing the things that we used to do and turn our hearts to Him, because the fire is going to fall on this altar. And I'll tell you what, the only time fire will always and ever fall is when there's a sacrifice on the altar. And you see that up here on this altar. There is sacrifice that has been paid with tears. With sacrifice, with their lives, with the very things that these kids have gone through, because the things that they have faced in this generation is unlike anything that we have ever faced in our generations. And there's a reason for that. Because God is training up a generation that is going to be so stubbornly set on the Word of God that it does not matter what culture says, it does not matter what the rulers of this age says, it does not matter what their friends say, they're going to plant their feet on the Word of God and not be moved, because the fire of the Holy Spirit is important to them. So with that said, Taylor, if you want to come up, I'd like you all to just welcome her up here, because she's going to share a bit of her testimony.
Hi. So we'll start with the summer. The summer has been kind of stressful. I'm a senior in high school, so college is coming up. It's really crazy and hectic. So I've been just kind of been on the vein of praying to God about direction in my life. I didn't really pray as much as I should, and I didn't really read the Bible as much as I should. So this summer I really started praying daily and reading the Word daily, because Pastor Rob has been talking about lately how frustration is the breeding ground for direction. Yeah, I knew that. I was just testing. I was just testing you. I'm not good at this. So one verse that really stuck out to me was Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And it's trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and always acknowledge Him. And in some translations it says, seek Him and He should direct your paths. And you know, just it's really hard to allow the Holy Spirit to hover over you if you're not in the Word daily and you're not praying daily, because you're not allowing Him to like speak into your life. And like, it's been like such a huge like revelation for me. I'm like, this is what I've been missing. Dang. So yeah.
Great job. So that was just a taste of the fruits of what's coming out of discipleship. The next young lady whom I love and who's hiding from me in the front is Hannah. Hannah, why don't you come up here and share your testimony with them?
Well, hi. Sorry, I'm nervous and I'm awkward. Sorry. Ah! Okay, so I guess I'll just start where Taylor started and at camp this summer. So camp was great. So I had my first vision at camp, which was also great. And So the day I had my first vision, My earthly father is not currently in the picture for me, and the day I had my first vision, he actually took me and my mom off our phone plan, and I felt horrible. I felt like absolute garbage, and that night in the service, Pastor Dylan had everyone sit on the ground, kneel, cross their legs, however they were comfortable, So he said no one was leaving until everyone heard from God, which is exactly what happened. We were there till like past curfew. It was like kind of awesome, but me and a select few people, we did not hear. We were like crying because we were like, don't call us out, please. Okay. Stop laughing. So I don't know if y'all understand how scary it is. Like, Pastor Dylan's already taller than me when I'm standing up. So I'm, like, sitting cross-legged. I'm sitting with my legs crossed on the floor. And he looks down at me. He's like, we'll start with you. And I'm like, why, Lord? It's scary when pastors look into your eyes. It's like. So they started with me, and I was like, oh, man, I'm so bummed. Like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I hear from God? Like, am I defective? So they started praying over me. Pastor Dylan was praying over me, and some of my friends in the circle started praying over me. I'm like, I love you so much. But so after a while, I started to feel like, I don't know, it was just like this welling of like emotion in me, and I just started to cry, and Pastor Dylan whispered to me, is there something going on between your parents? He doesn't know me, so I was like, So I said yes, and he actually had the same vision I had, and it was like great, because it was like, okay, so it's not just my mind, I'm actually hearing from God. So what it was is it was a heart, and because I'm a nerd, I saw like an emoji heart instead of like a physical heart. Okay. So it was like a heart, and it was like shattered into pieces, like, unless it would have been like from God and like he told you it was a heart, you wouldn't have been able to tell it was a heart. So it was just like completely destroyed, and the vision showed just like God slowly piecing the heart back together, and you couldn't even tell it was broken. All the fault lines and cracks and like holes and stuff, they were gone. It was like perfect, and like I feel like through that God was telling me, and right now he's telling me to tell y'all that no matter what anyone does, whether it's your family member, it's a friend, it's someone you haven't even ever met, no matter what they do to you, no matter how badly they break your heart, he's gonna fix it.
Are you done hugging? Why don't you come on up here, Leah?
Can I stand up here? Hi. I'm Leah, and well, I'm going to get a little vulnerable here. We're all getting a little vulnerable. I'll try not to cry, but here I am. All right, hi. So basically, we'll go back a little bit. I come from a family, a divorced family, and for a while, and I want to just start off with something. God is so good. Like, I know that's really obvious, but God is so good because he's taken the worst parts of my life, and he's just completely 180'd them and just made them the best parts of my life. And it's also been on my heart lately to just be more thankful, because, like, we're so quick to get into prayer and say, please, God, please, please, please do this and this. But we need to take time to step back and say, wow, look at what you've done in my life. Oh, I'm shaking. Okay, so, sorry, back to my testimony. But, so I come from a divorced family. That's one of my first things that God has, like, 180'd. And for a while, like, I don't really remember some of, like, the first parts of my life. Like, obviously, when I was a little baby, whatever. But you know, like, I don't remember, like, a lot, because, like, I don't know why, but just, like, my mind just is that part of my life. And, and basically, what came out of that was, that's how I met God, through the divorce. And it sounds weird, but basically, my dad, he met Suzette, which is my stepmom, and she, love her. She is a queen. And she went to Reflections Church. It was still Reflections, obviously, but a long, long time ago, when it was still at Citrus Springs Middle School, like, and for a while, and that's how I met God. And but for a while, I just felt like kind of like I was backsliding, and then and then okay, I'm gonna get really, really, like, deep here. But back in December. We actually lost my stepbrother, Joel, in a car accident. And it was really, it hit me so hard. I mean, and it hit my whole family really hard. But I can only say that we got through that because of God. He put peace in our hearts, and he made some really, really stinking awesome things come out of that. Because that's when I joined the worship team. I actually got involved in youth, and then we just clung to God, my whole family. And I can say, without God, I don't know where we would be lost, because yeah, and he is so good, and we just got to take time to thank him for putting, and as hard as these moments are in our life, for him not leaving us and for sticking by our side and turning things around to be better for us. And that's what I have to say. So
hi, my name's Jacob.
Hi.
Hey. Okay, so I'm not going to do it the same way they did, kind of, except Leah's. I'm going to do it, like, the same way Leah did. I'm just going to tell my life story. Yeah. collect my thoughts. Okay. So both my parents were alcoholics from the beginning, my biological mother and my father. My father had gone to church for a little while. He got saved, and then he fell from the Lord. After that, so they got married, and they had 6 of us children. I'm the oldest, and then my other sister's over there. Hi. And my biological mother was very abusive. I'll share with you guys, like, one of the instances which I've shared with them as well. Like, there would be moments where she would, like, burst into my room and just start beating me for no reason. She was a lunatic. She was crazy. My father, he was always at work, so he was never around. So that was kind of depressing, and my relationship with her was not well, even with my father as well. And then one day I come home from a friend's house, and my father looked distressed, and I said, Dad, what's wrong? And he said, oh, your mom left, and she took all the kids. So I was like, wow. You know, the first thought that came to my mind was, why didn't she take me? You know. But So that happened. 2 months later, she came back. She dropped off my brothers. It was me, my brothers, and my father. And it was that. I was going into my seventh grade year, and she left again. I think she went to Georgia. She went somewhere else. And it was just me, my fathers, and my brothers. Me, my father, and my brothers. And just that summer, we struggled financially, spiritually, because our family was broken apart. And then I went to my seventh grade year, and I had a lot of behavioral issues because of all that happening. And I was really bad. So at the end of the year, I didn't do any of my work. I always skipped class, and they held me back a grade. So I was going back and redoing my seventh grade year. And they put me in a correctional facility in Lecanto called Renaissance, if you guys know about it. I think you guys know it. So I was there. So I went into there, and as soon as I went in there, I started hanging out with the wrong crowd, and I started drinking a little bit with my friends. I just started falling away, like, really deep. And I was at the lowest point in my life. And then one day I came home. This is when it all starts to change. I came home, and I noticed something different about my father. He was like, there's just this smile. There was this presence about him. And so I asked him what was up, and he told me, and it come to find out that he was meeting with this lady at our church that we attended. He was meeting with her, and he was having Bible studies with her. And she was leading him to the Lord, back to God, which, praise the Lord for that. But she was leading him back, and I was kind of like, okay, I'm okay with this, whatever. One day, she invites me and my brothers and my father, she invites us to the Holy Land Experience in Orlando. And if you guys don't know what that is, it's like a Christian theme park, which depicts what life was like for Christ over 2,000 years ago. So we went there, and they had, you know, the whole fake Jesus and, you know, the Beatitudes on the mound, like, blessed are those, you know, all that stuff. and it was really cool. It was whatever. And then, like, the trying part really happened because in the afternoon, she and my father came up to my brothers, and she's like, oh, there's a crucifixion show this afternoon. You should come and see it. And it wasn't like, you should come. It was, you're coming. and I was like, I don't want to, because I didn't want to see somebody die. I didn't want to be a part of that. And that's too fanatical was the word I used. But they made me go, and I was so angry that they made me go. I remember in the theater, I sat in the top balcony away from them, and I was just sitting there, and I was pouting. I was so angry. And I kid you not, as soon as the show started, the love of God was just chipping away at my heart the whole time. And I saw this Jesus guy. He was just being treated so wrong, and he just kept loving people. And I was like, oh, this guy's crazy. How's he doing that? But then I realized it's like, it's true. Like, it's the truth. And then the last piece of my heart was chipped away at the end of the show. You had Jesus on the cross, and the soldiers were casting lots for his clothes, and you've got Mary and John over here, and she's watching her son die. That's horrible. And then you've got the Pharisees spitting at him and cursing him, and he's just sitting there on the cross taking it, and he groans within himself, and he says these words that, like, changed my life. He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And I was like, man, what? How are you going to forgive somebody when they're hurting you? I can't even. And then as soon as he said that, this is how I know the Holy Spirit's real, because this thought came into my mind. The Holy Spirit planted it in my mind. And he was like, it doesn't have to be this way. And I was like, what? And I realized the way I was living, the person that the world wanted me to become, you know, the person they were telling me I'm going to become, they were, in a sense, they were prophesying this evil, this life over me. And this, I was terrible. But that night, September 26, 2014, I knelt down and they led me in a prayer, and I prayed the sinner's prayer. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and my life changed after that. And it reminded me what Pastor Dave said, this altar that was broken down, and I just picked up the pieces, and you don't need a hammer to rebuild it. You don't need the nails. You just got to pick up the pieces and place them down. Just rebuild it. You don't need all the extra stuff. And I rebuilt that altar, and I gave myself away to God as a living sacrifice, and my life changed after that. I started going to a Christian school. I started reading more of my Bible, and after these years now that I've really got to know the Lord and see his goodness and taste and see that the Lord is good, I know that I'm called to be an evangelist, and I'm called to tell others about what God has done for me. And I see this, and I'm not uniquely sinful. My story's not uniquely broken, because you guys have been through similar things like that. You've been broken. You've been hurt. Somebody's hurt you. Your mom didn't want you. She took all the kids and left you. Maybe you were into drinking. What, you know, maybe you have bitterness in your heart. But God is calling you today. He called you here for a specific reason. Some of you might be new and you just woke up and you said, let's go to Harvest. Reflections? No, it's Harvest now. Yeah, yeah. Let's go to Harvest. You were called here for a reason, to hear what we have to say and what God has to say through us. So maybe today, like I said, you're in bondage. You might have this bitterness. I mean, the devil's on you. He's got this spirit over you of bitterness and evilness. But God's calling you today to get free of your bondage, to take off these shackles and shake them away. Come on, shake them away. God wants to make you brand new. And some of you had that altar built up in your life, but you broke it down. And you put up those Baal altars. You put up other gods in his way. But God is calling you to tear those down and build up his altar today. Yes. Today. Amen. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter how far you've fallen. My father was an alcoholic. He dropped low. I can't even tell you the stories he did, the things that he done. Hearing Pastor Dave's story, just falling. And God picked him back up. It doesn't matter how far you're gone. God loves you and has a plan for your life. So as the music's playing, and as this atmosphere is happening, as we feel the Spirit of God, I pray that you guys come up here right now. If you have anything in your life that's broken, anything that you want fixed, if you want to rebuild the altar and give yourself away to God, come up here right now. Right now. Come on. Who wants to rebuild the altar? Come up right now. Right now. There's no tomorrow. Today's the day. Today's the day. And we're going to pray over you. Everybody, come up right here. Right here. Everybody, you guys want to come up? Let's go. Make right with Jesus. Come to Jesus. It's called his throne of grace. The Bible calls it the throne of grace. The throne of grace, not the throne of judgment, because mercy triumphs over judgment. There is grace in Jesus Christ. You come back to Jesus. Rebuild that altar today. Come on. Anybody still coming? And we're going to pray over you. Can I get the youth? Can you guys find people and just lay your hands on them and start praying on them? Start speaking to them. Lift up your language. Let's go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray to you today in Jesus' name. God, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Today there are shackles. There are shackles on these people. There are shackles that we put back on, God. Lift up your voices. Lift up your voices. There are shackles that are on us right now, God, and you don't want them on there anymore. You want to take us and you want to use us, God. You want to use us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, you have a plan for our life. Excuse me. Hey, what's your name?
Timmy.
Timmy? Can I ask you a question? Is there any bitterness in your heart at all? Lift up your voices.
As we continue to pray out, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that the fire of the Holy Spirit fall on the people at this altar, Lord. God, in Jesus' name, Father, we cast off all things that we've held on to, Father. We cast on all things, Father, that we've said this is just the way life is, God. Lord, it is not, because you have come that we would have life and life more abundantly, God. So in the name of Jesus, Father, we pray breakthrough over every person on this altar, Lord. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name that healings are occurring, Father. Father, we pray that prayer that my sister Denise prayed out. It was there and now it isn't. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray, Father, for financial provision, Lord. We pray, Father, for the broken, the lost, the hurting, God. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit take reign in our life, Father, in Jesus' name. God, we bless you for this day. We know that you are good, you are faithful, and your mercy endures forever, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and we give you thanks. Let's lift up the shout of praise for the Lord.